this week's assist. It's sponsored again by Free Super Tips, of course. And I'm Warren Ashurst, joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to take you through this weekend's action in the Premier League, the EFL and the FA Cup this week as well. Second round action to look forward to in the cup competition. But we have to start with the Premier League and the huge game of the weekend, which takes place at 4 o'clock on Sunday at Anfield as Liverpool take on Manchester City. Interesting reading in terms of the prices. Liverpool 11-10, the draw 13-5, and it's 23-10 for Manchester City. Mark, we'll start with you. Just how big is this game in terms of the title race?
Yeah, I think it is, massive. I mean, we're only going to be at the start of December, so there's still a huge amount of football to be played. But I don't see how if Man City lose this game, it's going to be very difficult for them to win the Premier League. They're going to need an almighty collapse from Liverpool and for them to then go on the kind of run that we've seen them do in the past, but just they don't look capable of winning 15 matches in a row. And I know that because they've done it before, we just think they'll do it again. But if they're just back to being a kind of, I don't know, an 80-point Premier League team or something like that, they're not going to claw back a deficit into double figures. I wouldn't have thought. Even though Liverpool have got a lot of hard away games still to come, it would be, I mean, too much. You don't want to go all Paul Merson and say it's completely over, because it never is. They're not going to be like hundreds of ones to win the Premier League. So, they'll still be in it. But I think from a realistic point of view, this feels like must not lose for Pep Guardiola's side. And, given the way they've played in the last five or six matches, it looks the most likely outcome. I mean, just in terms of this game, I saw a press release from William Hill dropped in my email inbox earlier on this week, saying first time in about 6 years, I think, that they've been underdogs for a Premier League game. So, remarkable fall from grace from such an all-conquering side.
I mean, it would be tough enough, Dan, going to Anfield with Liverpool in this form and City in the league form that they've had. But of course, we go into this off the back of City throwing away a 3-0 lead against Feyenoord in the Champions League, and Liverpool off the back of a really impressive win over Real Madrid, which kind of swings things, you'd think, even more in the home side's favour.
Absolutely. I just think at the moment, Manchester City are suffering a crisis of confidence, really. They can start games. I mean, the start of the game against Spurs, they started the game really well. We're playing very, very good, conceded. And then, they kind of fell apart after that. And then, the final game, you're 3-0 up, absolutely cruising. And as soon as there's a setback, they concede a goal, everything seems to collapse. I mean, the Brighton game you can go back to as well. They were winning that game, not playing brilliant in that game, but again, concede, and then another one follows soon after. I just think that it's not been spoken about much. Everyone talks about the playing side, but I think there might be a bit of a lack of leadership out on the pitch there. Rodri's obviously important as a player, and I know he's not the club's official captain, but I just think in terms of him being a leader when things go wrong, I feel that they're really missing him in that sense out on the pitch.
Well, in terms of City and where this has come from, most people would think it's just kind of happened out of the blue. Obviously, Rodri's injury is something which a lot of people will focus on. But I just wonder whether there's a bit of a comparison to make here. Liverpool look a fresher team since they've had Arne Slot come in. And maybe, having all of that sort of years of the same manager and the same instructions all the time, whether that's having an impact at City.
Well, I mean, Pep Guardiola is Mr. Relentless, isn't he? He seems to be even angrier when they win than when they lose. So I can imagine that it is very draining and demanding playing for a manager with those type of standards. And, this is a team that has basically done everything there is. They've won the treble. They've then gone on and become the first team in history to win as many league titles in a row. So they've just reached this sort of level, I think, that maybe the only way is down, and it becomes difficult, doesn't it, to retain the hunger potentially at times. Go back to one of, I think it might have been the first or second Spurs goal, first one, where Gundogan doesn't track Madison, Walker doesn't sprint as hard as maybe he could either, and it only takes you to be a couple of percent off. We're not saying that they've completely gone at the game. They're not sort of, this useless side that would be better off suited in League Two. But from where they were to where they are. I also would say there's been a big drop off. I tipped Arsenal at the start of the season. I could half see this coming. I might have got the wrong one. You know, Liverpool are playing so well at the moment, but I'm not that stunned by sort of City dropping back. I am obviously surprised with the way that it's happened and the sort of the dramatic nature of losing 4-0 to Tottenham and then, you know, from 3-0 up against Feyenoord. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Jack Grealish taking a quick free kick when there's 2 minutes left and he's taking a quick free kick when they're 3-2 up. Just makes no sense. They're completely panicking. They've had some injuries. You've got to say that, you know, a fully fit De Bruyne, he maybe is one of those leaders that Dan sort of talks about being missing. Ruben Dias at the back doesn't play every week. John Stones, who was so influential in them winning, you know, the treble, he's somebody that just seems to be really struggling for fitness and sort of putting a run of games together. Guardiola, I mean, he's been absolutely shocking the last couple of matches. I also think that their transfers in the summer, you know, bringing Gundogan back, like, it looks shrewd in some ways because we remember the player that Gundogan was, but there was a reason they got rid of him in the first place and weren't that fussed about him staying. They got good money for Julian Alvarez, was in best part of 90 million euros, but to have, maybe they just got a bit too cocky and just thought, well, we don't need to replace him. But I think he played more minutes than anybody else last season for Manchester City. So he definitely needed somebody else in that forward line because Haaland left a lot of goals on the table in recent weeks. And to not be able to freshen it up with anybody else, just I think that's negligence, really, in the transfer market. And also, just from Rodri's point of view, he played so much football. He was the one complaining more than anybody else, wasn't he, about the amount of football that was being played and then suffered that cruel injury. But they didn't really have a proper replacement for him. Like, Kovacic can do that job, but I don't think he's a natural Rodri replacement. So I think they've made some missteps in the transfer market in the summer. Somebody like Kyle Walker, I think, you know, I'm not saying you move him on, but, like, where's the sort of succession plan at right back? Because like Rico Lewis played right midfield against Tottenham. I mean, he was in no man's land. He didn't seem to know what his position was. I think he might be a central midfielder. He wants to play central midfield. So just a lot of small things have come together here for Man City. I don't think Edison's playing that well either, I have to say. He seems to be exempt from criticism, but I don't see him making save after save after save the way you would expect, say, Courtois did for Real Madrid at Liverpool. So, yeah, a lot of problems all coming together. And what we're saying is Man City are rubbish.
I'm not going to repeat anything of that sort. Dan, in stark contrast at the moment with Liverpool, we talked about earlier in the season how the fixture list had been pretty kind, but they've gone through that rocky patch now of the tough games, barring, of course, City and Everton, you'd say, to come. I think there was probably a little bit of concern in the Liverpool camp with what was said by Mo Salah a week or so ago about his contract, that would that unsettle things, but Wednesday night suggests it wouldn't.
No, absolutely. And Salah as an individual, you look at his performances and they've not really, you know, he's still playing a vital role for them this season in terms of goals and assists. There's, you know, there's a question there about what they do long term. And I can kind of see both sides of that, really, because although he's playing very well at the moment, when players move into their 30s and they rely a lot on their pace, the club is going to be thinking, you know, do we put this man on a 3-4 year contract and will he be the same player, you know, over the course of that? So I can see sort of both sides. But right now, it's okay for both parties because Salah's still focused and playing well. Don't see that affecting his performance for the rest of the season. And Liverpool, I'm not completely sold on Liverpool, even though the 8-point lead is significant because at this stage to be that far clear is a great effort. And it's the same distance as the distance between second place and 14th place. So it's a remarkable lead that they've got. But I'm not completely sold on all of their performances. They're brilliant against Real Madrid. The Southampton game, maybe they've dipped, you know, because of the Real Madrid game coming up. But they could have actually lost that game. The Liverpool goals were just terrible errors from Southampton, who played pretty well over the course of the game. So I do see a sticky patch coming for Liverpool. What I don't see any of the chasing teams being relentless enough to take advantage.
Okay, well, that said, plenty to take into account ahead of the clash at Anfield. But Mark, what would you be looking at in terms of your best bet here?
I struggle to see past Liverpool, for this game, odds against. It just becomes, I think, quite difficult to know where Man City are and sort of how bad they are. But if I'm sort of just going through the eye test, like, they're just not playing at the same standard as Liverpool. And therefore, with home advantage, sort of odds against quotes, I just think are really fair, for Liverpool to win the game. Man City, one stat that I saw, I think it's from Opta, said that since Rodri's injury, they've given up more big chances in the Premier League than any other team. I mean, that is just stupid. Is it the first time since the early 60s they've conceded at least two goals in their last six matches? So I'm going to go for a Liverpool win. I would also, I'm just going to lead into sort of Dan's selection by, I mean, Dan's got a really strong view on where City might finish this season, Dan. And if you do that and then give us your best bet for this game.
Yeah, I just think that sometimes a club, when they kind of fall from grace and they're used to challenging for titles, and you've got the Rodri situation being out for the season, if it gets to the stage where they can't push for first place, which could happen quite quickly, you know, if they lose at Liverpool, which I'm going to advise in a minute, but I just think that for City and the group of players that they've got to be challenging and scrapping to try and, you know, for the minor places up there, I'm not absolutely sure, you know, when they, you know, they've got Champions League, other things to go for, that they're going to be completely energised by that. And there's a real problem that, you know, if a team like, you know, one of the chasers like Spurs pick up, which is, you know, the potential to happen, they're not a million miles, you know, points-wise off of City, then I don't think they're at an absolute gimme for the top four. I know that might sound unthinkable, but that's the way I see it. And for this game, I totally agree with Mark. I think in Liverpool, people tend to forget how strong they are at home. And you've got another reminder there against Real Madrid where, you know, big game, they turned up, were absolutely fantastic, thoroughly deserved to win. I think City, the way they're playing at the moment, you'd have to say it's not as difficult a test for them. Sounds a crazy thing to say. They have been getting players back, City, but the just confidence just doesn't seem there. They can kind of look deceptively good on the stats. I looked at the stats after the Spurs game. They had 23 shots. I think Spurs shots were single figures. But as Mark mentioned, in terms of big chances, they were all falling and being created by Spurs in general. And I'm watching Spurs, and I'm hiding behind the sofa wondering what's going to happen next. And I'm talking to my wife at 3-0 up, and I said, the next goal here, it's going to be Spurs. You could just see that they were getting desperate, City, and, you know, ragged, really. That's how they've been. And that Spurs were going to break and get another one. So, no, it's a lot wrong for them at the moment. And I can see Liverpool piling on the pain.
OK, well, just to remind you, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday at Anfield, Liverpool against Manchester City, the big weekend game in the Premier League. Let's run through the rest of the games now in the top flight. And we've got a Friday night match to look forward to at the Amex Stadium as Brighton take on Southampton. Brighton 2-5 to claim the victory, 6-1 Southampton, and the draw 4-1. Brighton with that good win at Bournemouth last week. Dan, Southampton, as you say, pretty much shooting themselves in the foot against Liverpool. How do you see this one going?
Well, I can see Brighton being too strong. I would go with Brighton and both teams to score. You know, nice price of about 13-8. Brighton, I would just mention it. They're another of the teams that it's not unthinkable they could start putting pressure on City. They've had a great start, and their next six games, none of them are against teams in the top eight. So they've got a real chance now to sort of kick on. João Pedro, since he's come back, he's taken them, you know, up a couple of levels. I think I really rate him as a player. Got key goals in the wins against Manchester City and away to Bournemouth. Southampton just keep shooting themselves in the foot, don't they? Play some nice football. Three shocking goals they gave away against Liverpool when they could have got a result there. I just think that defensively, they're nowhere near good enough. I think they may score a goal here, you know, hence the tip. But Brighton to win and both teams to score.
It's funny, I saw an interview, Mark, with Troy Deeney this week, who suggested that during his time at Watford, he thought João Pedro was a better player than Richarlison, and he felt that he would go on to bigger and better things. I mean, he's starting to show that now for Brighton.
I thought you was going to say that he thought that he was a better player than João Pedro. I remember Troy Deeney saying he was better than Harry Kane. I think Richarlison probably caught the eye just a bit more, just in terms of it felt like Watford were more sort of in the headlines at that point than sort of when João Pedro was there. And so maybe that's why he was under the radar a little bit more. Maybe people had got a bit bored of Watford by then. In terms of this game, I fully agree. I think João Pedro is a top talent, and you know Brighton will probably flog him soon enough and make a load of money on the back of it. For this game, similar thoughts to Dan, but just slightly different. I'm going to go for Brighton to win and over 2.5 goals. Nine of Brighton's last 10 games have had at least 3 goals.
Let's turn our attentions now to the 3 o'clock games in the Premier League, and we'll start off with a clash between Brentford and Leicester. Brentford 13-20, the draw 16-5, and it's around about 15-4 for Leicester, who of course are getting used to life, Mark, without Steve Cooper. What did you think of that decision to sack him?
I can understand why I can understand why they sacked him. I don't know why they appointed him really in the first place. It was always going to be sort of negative because of his Forest connection. It was also, you know, a shift away from what Maresca's style of play. So probably shouldn't have appointed him in the first place. I don't think they're as good as what the league table says in terms of points gained. I think they've been outplayed in a lot of their matches. So I do understand why he was sacked. It sounds like Van Nistelrooy is a strong favourite to come in and replace Steve Cooper. I mean, I don't know sort of necessarily where that comes from. I mean, he got 2 good results against Man United. I hope that's not the reason why they've appointed him. I'm not sure it's going to be a massive shift up in performance because they look like a team that I think is just limited really in terms of the Premier League. In terms of this game though, I am struggling. I've just gone for Brentford to win 2-1 correct score. They've been very good, Brentford, at beating the bad teams. They've won at home to all of the bottom four sort of so far, all the teams they've played down the bottom there. But they haven't kept a clean sheet in any of them. And you know, if there's a new manager bounce, it might just make you a bit wary of backing Brentford at a short price.
I heard a stat down last week that Brentford have got the joint best home record across Europe's top four leagues, and they'll expect to beat Leicester, won't they, on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they probably will beat Leicester. I just think that you know, the home record they've got is getting quite, you know, heavily reflected in the markets. You know, they're quite a bit of odds on to win this game, and you know, I'm not entirely comfortable with that as a single bet. I just think, you know, touching on Leicester's performance, I agree. They are probably higher in the table than they should be. Their XG4 is the lowest. Their XG against is a third worst as well. So they're doing bad on both of those metrics. I wonder on the manager situation. Maybe they were expected to get a big points deduction, weren't they? Maybe they just couldn't get who they wanted in the summer, and that's why they ended up with Steve Cooper. And maybe that's why they're, you know, with the points deduction looking, you know, not going to happen, that they've got a better chance right now of acting and getting who they feel is someone better. But I think whoever comes in is going to have a tough task. Fancy Brentford to win. I would just go with, you know, a bit of value. Johan Wiss has been a main man from this season. You know, double figures goals last season, 7 goals this season, 2-1 to score any time at home to, you know, a weak side. So it's a good bet to me.
Selhurst Park is the venue for Crystal Palace against Newcastle at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Palace 19-10, the draw 13-5, and Newcastle 13-10. Dan, I think you flagged up last week, you thought West Ham were a great price at St James's Park. They came up trumps then. Newcastle are going to have to try and respond, and never the easiest place to go to do that, Selhurst Park.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I wasn't that confident about the West Ham tip. I just thought Newcastle were a little bit too short. And I was actually shocked by how bad Newcastle were. I thought they were really poor. I know they had a couple of injuries during the game, Willock and Grimaldo's, but they weren't playing, you know, great before then. West Ham, after they settled after 10, 15 minutes, you know, looked you know, quite comfortable in the game. And I just think Newcastle, I mean, they're never that convincing, you know, in general away from home. And although Palace are having a tough time at the moment, they did get their 2-2 draw away to Aston Villa. Ismaila Sarr, who I rate, I think he can make an impact for him. Got a goal and assist. He's starting to deliver. Eze looks like he's going to come back into the side in some capacity. He's absolutely massive for them. And I'll be prepared to chance them here against Newcastle. As I said, picked up a couple of injuries. Really, really poor against West Ham. Manager Eddie Howe under pressure, as is the Palace managers, to be fair. But I'm going to take a chance on Palace here. Go for them to win.
Two unpredictable teams, I'd suggest, Mark, here. What's your thoughts?
And probably no better for me. But if you are desperately sort of, you know, looking to build a Premier League kind of bet out of all the matches, I mean, this would be the one to avoid. But the draw was something that sort of stood out to me in terms of the match result. 11 of Palace's last 12 games have been settled by no more than one goal. So they are a team that, you know, are really fine margins either way. And you know, given, as Dan said, both managers could do with a result, I just wonder if it's a draw after 60, 65 minutes, whether that risk reward is there and might both settle for it.
Two more 3 o'clock kickoffs to look at on Saturday. First up, it's at the City Ground, Nottingham Forest against Ipswich. Forest 4-6, Ipswich 4-1, and the draw 29-10. Conflicting sort of results for the two teams last weekend. Mark, how do you look upon this?
Yeah, so last two games I've tipped Liam Delap to score. He did that against Spurs. I mean, Onana has done me really last week. I mean, that was some save, the first one. He ended up with an XG of 1 in that game, Liam Delap. He's 19-5 to score against Nottingham Forest. I know Forest are good defensively, but I just think Delap is underrated, not by the Ipswich fans, they love him, but having seen him live, watched him on TV, I think he's got gears. You know, he was at City, you know, at one stage, was highly rated, didn't work out for him at a couple of loans. I think he's a definite talent, and you know, nearly 4-1 to score a goal, and he's Ipswich's main threat. That's where I'm playing.
I know Forest were missing a couple of key players at Arsenal last week, Dan, but will that result set them back, do you think?
I think so. They've had a couple of punches on the nose now, haven't they? They lost the 3-1 against Newcastle and the 3-0 at Arsenal. Arsenal were very, very good in that game, has to be said. But I do think they're kind of coming back now, and you know, nearer to a position in the table you'd expect Forest to be. I mean, they're still well above, you know, the pre-season expectations. I just think they're a side as well. There'll be an onus on them to have the ball and create in this game. I don't think it suits them that much. They're very much a counter-attacking slash sort of set-piece sort of side. And Ipswich, you know, improving at the moment, unbeaten in three. The last two of those, a great win against Spurs. They were well worth a draw, I thought, at home to Man United. Could have even, you know, maybe gone on to edge it in the second half. So I just don't think they're going to be easy to beat here, Ipswich. They've lost less than half of their games. You know, been very competitive this season. I think they'll get something here. I'm going to go with a draw.
OK, and finally, we have got the resurgent Wolves, who, if it had not been for Tottenham's 4-0 win at Manchester City, probably would have got results of the weekend last week with their 4-1 thumping of Fulham at Craven Cottage. They play host to Bournemouth at Molineux, and Wolves are 9-5 to collect the win. Bournemouth 7-5, and it's 13-5 the draw. I suppose a tricky one, this, to work out where both teams are at the moment, Dan.
Yeah, tricky. I think at the moment, although it's not a very, you know, a well-established revival for Wolves, they are starting to play, you know, quite a bit better. The 4-1 at Fulham, flattered them a little bit. Fulham had an injury and were down to 10 men when a couple of late goals went in. So, you know, I wouldn't go completely carried away by that. But it is going to boost the confidence. Their main player, Cunha, is absolutely on fire at the moment for them. And confidence is starting to come. They had that terrible start with the fixtures and it kind of carried on when they had easier fixtures. But they're starting to play better now and rise up the table. I'm not so sure I tipped them to be in a relegation dogfight. I'm not so sure that'll happen now, looking at them recently. I think the tide will continue to turn here. I'm going to go with Wolves on the draw, no bet. I'm looking at Bournemouth. I've seen a lot of good things about them, but they're certainly not so strong away from home. Only had one away win. That was at Everton when they were 2-0 down after 85 minutes and playing really poorly. So they do seem to have issues on their travels. Going to go with Wolves on the draw, no bet.
I was talking to a Wolves fan this week, Mark, and he was just glowing about Mateus Cunha. And then I have to apologise. I dampened it by saying he might be gone in January if he keeps on playing the way he is at the moment. He's been outstanding, though, in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's definite talent. He's quite a different forward, really, to sort of most others. You know, he's a bit of a dribbling maverick, isn't he, at times. He's sort of hard to sort of, I suppose, put him in a box as to like what he is. There aren't, you know, you've got your big number nines, you've got kind of your really mobile sort of forwards. I'm thinking, you're thinking like Watkins and Solanke in that regard. I mentioned Delap earlier would be, you know, Chris Wood, your traditional target man. Not, yeah, I sort of not sure what Cunha is. He's not a not necessarily a 10. He's not a winger, but he's just very good. I'm going to go for a draw in this game. Bournemouth, thought we were a touch unlucky to lose that game against Brighton last week. They are more vulnerable on the road. They did get draws against Villa and Forest, so I'll go for a share of the spoils.
Turn our attentions now to the 5:30 game on Saturday, the London Stadium, for West Ham against Arsenal at 5:30. West Ham 6-1 to claim the victory here. They were 4-1 to win at Newcastle on Monday. Arsenal 9-20 and the draw around 7-2. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. What are you looking at here?
Arsenal -1 on the Asian handicap. So if Arsenal win by 2 goals or more, your bet's a winner. If they don't win, it's a loser. If they win by 1 goal, you get your money back. I mean, great result for West Ham against Newcastle. But I look at sort of some of their performances against sort of top teams and it doesn't really stack up. You know, they were beaten 3-1 by City at home. They were beaten 3-0. Chelsea ran riot against them in that first half. Arsenal, coming off the back of that fantastic win in Portugal against Sporting. Odegaard's back. Saka looks sort of fit and firing. I think Arsenal should win this game convincingly. And they'll be kind of, I suppose, buoyed by what's happened to Manchester City as well. You know, it's easier to chase Liverpool down than it is Man City.
I'm just wondering, Dan, whether West Ham are going to play better away from home like they did a couple of other seasons ago when the pressure mounts, that maybe they feel it a bit more at home.
Yeah, possibly. You know, the crowd can be, you know, can get on their backs early there at times, and you know, can be an issue. They're generally in the big games that they certainly start, you know, positively behind the team. But I just think this is one of the worst games they could have had to try and kick on from that Newcastle game. A fixture against a mid-table team, I would have said, yeah, you know, a good chance they could start to improve now and kick on. But you're running into an Arsenal team who got their key players back now and are really starting to click. You know, the Forest performance, I thought, was very good against the team Forest that went into that game high on confidence and looking great, you know, in the weeks beforehand. And then they've, you know, followed up with an even better performance against Sporting. So I think there may even still be a few scars from last season. It's only February this year when Arsenal went and won 6-0 at West Ham. You know, a few of the West Ham players will be having nightmares still about that. I just think Arsenal will be too strong. I think West Ham, they're getting a bit more organised now and they defended a lot better against Newcastle. So I don't think they're going to get absolutely blitzed. So I'm going to go for Arsenal to win under 3.5 goals at odds against.
OK, well, we've got 3 more games to look forward to in the Premier League on Sunday. Aside from that 4 o'clock kickoff, of course, at Anfield, all three of these kick off at 1:30. And we'll start with arguably the biggest, you would say, in terms of positions in the league at the moment, Chelsea against Aston Villa. Dan, this is a situation that you have to say recent weeks and the performances in the last few weeks would suggest that maybe Chelsea are ahead of Villa at the minute in terms of a top four spot.
I think they are. I wouldn't even completely rule out Chelsea having a challenge for the title as well. You look at, they're in there with, you know, the likes of City and Arsenal in the chasing pack at the moment. I'm looking at their next 10 games. 9 of them are against teams outside of the top 6. There's a real opportunity for them to kick on now. They've got an unbelievably strong squad. So, you know, injuries, I don't think, affect them, unless it's to a bad one to Cole Palmer. I don't think injuries affect them as much as they would do, you know, a lot of other teams, you know, in the league. And you know, confidence is coming. I just think that, you know, shade of odds on this game, I think is a decent bet. I'll go with Chelsea. Villa have, you know, tended to struggle after these European games, haven't they? You know, put a big effort into that 0-0 draw against Juventus. Maybe a little bit unlucky, could have nicked a win there. But they've tended to struggle after the European games. And they're on a, you know, quite a long now run without a win. You know, a 2-2 draw at the Palace last weekend wasn't a great result. Now they're going to Chelsea, who, as I said, are playing really well. So Chelsea to win for me.
Yeah, Chelsea, by the way, 8-11. It's 100-30 Aston Villa and 3-1 a draw. You've been quite keen on Chelsea, Mark, in recent weeks. Same again here?
Yeah, I sort of echo really what Dan was saying. I expect them to win the game. You know, they're playing Europa sort of conference at the moment, aren't they? And it's almost like not being in Europe for them. All of their other rivals are picking up injuries, this sort of slog of a calendar. You know, they're out of the League Cup as well, so they can really focus on a sort of Premier League push over the next couple of months. And I expect them to get 3 points against what I think is a leggy Villa at the moment.
Ruben Amorim is set for his first game as Manchester United boss at Old Trafford when they play host to Everton at 1:30 on Sunday. United 2-1 on, Everton 21-4 and the draw 16-5. Of what you saw of United last week against Ipswich, Mark, do we think there's still a lot of work for Amorim to do?
There is a lot of work for him to do. I think he would have known that. He would. Nothing in that 90 minutes would have surprised him. If he's watched any of the videos, he would have seen that United are, nowhere near where you expect Manchester United to be. They've got various problems, but one that kind of isn't spoken about quite as much is their, I think, powder puff nature of their attack. And that's what leading me into a bet here of under 2.5 goals for this game. Rashford, he scored his goal, but he didn't do much else in the time he was on the pitch. Hoyland, just struggles with the expectation. I think it's unfair of kind of how it's been hoisted upon him to be this kind of United number nine when he wasn't ready for it. And Xerxes just looks below the talent required, again, to be Man United's front man. So Everton, rarely involved in classics, has been 5 goals in their last 6 games. So, yeah, under 2.5.
There's a few boos ringing around Goodison after their clean sheet with Brentford on Saturday last week, Dana. I just wonder, though, as Mark's alluded to there, with United's problems in scoring goals, whether Everton can try and frustrate them.
Yeah, I think they probably can frustrate United here. I'm going to go with Everton or draw, double chance. I think it's a good bet. I just think there's been a real change in the market since Amorim's gone in there. It almost expected him to be a magician, wave a wand and everything's fixed. And I think if Ten Hag is still in charge, I think United's price, I'm guessing, will be about 4-6 for this game. 2's on for me is over the top. You've had the evidence already of the Ipswich game where an instant reaction started great and then went back to kind of how they were. The shape changed, but the players are still the same. Again, Ipswich really, could have even gone on to win the game. Everton are not an amazing side, but they are a lot tougher to beat now, getting it towards being a typical Sean Dyche side, not conceding many goals. 1 loss in 8 Premier League games. I think they can get certainly something here at Old Trafford.
Well, I've left what is for Dan and Mark as the best for last in terms of where Tottenham go from here off the back of that success against Manchester City last week. They've got Fulham at home at 1:30 on Sunday, Spurs 4-6, Fulham 100-30, the draw 7-2. Surely, Dan, it would be just like Tottenham to go and lose this off the back of last week.
Well, my instant reaction when you said that, Warren, where Tottenham go from here is who knows. you never know, do you, with Spurs. I'm going to tentatively go here for Spurs and both teams to score. You can only go by what you're watching. And yes, Man City have got a lot of issues at the moment, but I think as well it was a really strong Spurs performance as well. The two centre-backs, the reserve centre-backs come in and done really well. And I think the balance was much better with Maddison and Kulusevski in the side. Not this time, with one of them kind of having to play deep. There was a better balance because you still got Basuma and Sarr in there. Pirro got forward more on the right, got his goal. They just seemed a better balance all round and a real good control of the game. So I think that does stand them in better stead at the moment for going forward. You've got to bear in mind they've got to play Roma first, so you've got to see what comes out of that game in the Europa League. I think they might go, Postecoglou might go a bit stronger for that game than the Galatasaray game when they were lost 3-2, could have been 10-2. But I think they'll, as long as they don't pick up too many injuries, I think they'll have a little bit too much for Fulham. Fancy Fulham to score, though. Like I said, the scoreline against Wolves, they're a good side, but just fell away for them when they were down to 10 men towards the end there. But I think Spurs will have a little bit too much going forward.
I have to say, Mark, I think Tottenham do have arguably the best player in the league at the moment for form. Dejan Kulusevski has been absolutely outstanding in recent weeks.
He definitely has. He did it again at City, which, if they're looking for a replacement for Kevin De Bruyne in the long term, he's the kind of obvious candidate, really, if they're looking for somebody in the Premier League. I'm going to disagree with Dan, I'm going to go for Fulham or draw, double chance. Spurs have struggled to back up Thursday, Sundays, which I think has been a problem. That intensity they play at is a struggle. Vicario being out for a couple of months, should leave every Spurs fan jittery because Fraser Forster, he's not as good, obviously, but he's also a very different goalkeeper. And Fulham, as it's been mentioned, but just to I think, reiterate for those that didn't know, they finished that game against Wolves with 10 men due to sort of having made all their subs. And, you know, the final scoreline didn't, I think, sort of merit kind of the performance. And Jimenez missed a golden opportunity in that game. And I think Fulham have sort of done very well this season. It could be an awkward game. So I'll go for them not to lose the match.
OK, well, that is the Premier League sorted then. Up next, it's the EFL and FA Cup.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Okay, well, this week's match in focus is in the FA Cup second round. It's Kettering against Doncaster. It's a 12 noon kickoff on Sunday. I'll come to the prices in a moment, but Dan, I suppose we're looking at this with the possibility of there being a cup upset.
Possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. They got a great result, didn't they? You know, in like a derby game away to Northampton, who kind of rested a lot of players and had some injuries. You know, in the first round tie, won 2-1 after extra time. I think. I mean, you'll mention the prices in a minute, Warren, but I don't see an upset happening here.
Yeah, Kettering 7-1 to claim the victory over League Two. Doncaster were 3-1 on, and the draw is 9-2. So Doncaster, of course, finished strongly last season in League Two. Dan, they've not quite necessarily at the top of the table at the moment, where maybe many people were expecting, but they're starting to find a little bit of form now.
Yeah, they're in the playoff places, and I think they could finish top three by the end of the season. Grant McCann is a very, very good manager. They've been strong now for the most part of the calendar year, up against a team three levels below at the moment. Kettering are top of the Southern League Premier, the Central Division at the moment. Got some familiar names, Gary Hooper, Niall Ranger, Marvin Sordell among their ranks. I would say Luca Miller, the teenager, the 19-year-old, could be their biggest threat, though. Come off the bench and a goal and assist against Northampton in the 2-1 extra time win there. He looked a real talent, but I just think the gap in class here is too much. Mm. Going to go with Doncaster -1.5 on the Asian handicap. Means that they need to win by two clear goals, you know, for the bet to pay off. But I think that's going to happen. So Doncaster for an easy win.
Well, we'll stick with Dan now because it's time for his best three selections from the EFL and FA Cup this weekend. And where are we starting, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to start off a little bit more of a funky bet than normal. We're going to go for Bristol City and over 2.5 goals at home to Plymouth in the Championship. Get odds against for that. Bristol City are about 8-15. I think they're fine to stick in your ackers, but as a single bet, that's a bit, you know, quite a short price. But I do think they'll win the game. I watched Bristol City in the game at Watford in midweek. They really impressed me. Watford won 1-0, but only had one shot on target. Bristol City pressed really well, looked a genuinely good side, and now this is a much easier task. Plymouth got stuffed 6-1 at Norwich in midweek, got loads of injuries at the moment. Wayne Rooney's not having any luck with injuries. Ibrahim Sissoko, Kiyataka out. Morgan Whitaker's injured at the moment, another Kiyataka. Joe Ebb was the captain's injured as well, so not having a lot of luck on the injury front. Think they'll lose away to Bristol City. Following on from that, in the FA Cup, going to go with Leighton Orient to do the business at home to sort of National League Oldham. Orient about 4-6. That looks a reasonable bet to me. Had a tough start to League One, but progressed more recently. They had a four-game unbeaten run until they lost 2-0 at home to Huddersfield, but that looked quite a tight game on Tuesday night. I just think this is a much easier task for them. Oldham under Mickey Mellon are going pretty well in the National League, but this is, you know, the game in the last round. They won 2-1 away to Tranmere, you know, struggling in League Two, but the shot count there was 17-6 in Tranmere's favour. This is a tougher game at Orient. I would expect Orient to win it. Thirdly, going to go with FA Cup again, Birmingham. The strongest team in the FA Cup at this stage to win away to Blackpool, who are in the same division. Just a shade of odds on here for Birmingham, which is perfectly reasonable. I think they had a terrible 3-2 defeat away to Shrewsbury last weekend when Gareth Ainsworth going into Shrewsbury got a tune out of them. Responded, though, with a great 2-0 win, away to Exeter. They are, in my eyes, still by far the strongest team in League One. Blackpool won 2-0 away to Bristol Rovers on Tuesday night, but they've gone 8 games without a win previous to that. I think there's a big gap in quality between the sides. Birmingham to win the game.
OK, Bristol City, Leighton Orient and Birmingham are Dan's selections. We're going to turn our attentions now to Mark's Bet Builder. OK, Mark, well, which game are we looking at for your Bet Builder this week?
had to go to Anfield, Liverpool versus Man City, all eyes on that game. Going to keep it quite simple, though, really. Liverpool to win. They've won 17 of their 19 matches under Arne Slot. A remarkable start for the Dutchman since replacing Jurgen Klopp. I'm going for over 3 goals. We need at least 4 goals in the game. But City, you remember, I mean, they tend to struggle at Anfield even when they're playing well. So I sort of dread to think what might happen to them, with them not playing so well at the moment. They've conceded at least 2 goals in their last 6 matches. And again, sort of sticking with the obvious, but Mo Salah to score in the game. Guardiola is having an absolute shocker at the moment. Kulusevski tore him apart. He made the mistake against Feyenoord. Even when he played for Croatia against Scotland, the Doak ran him ragged as well. So up against Salah, that could be a mismatch. So Liverpool to win the game, over 3.5 goals in the match, and Mohamed Salah to score.
Okay, well, that's Mark's bet builder for this weekend. Time for his prop shop tips now as well. Where are we looking here, Mark?
Yes, I'm going to Stamford Bridge. Pedro Neto, who missed the game last week against Leicester with a minor injury. Maresca said it was nothing serious and he should be back this weekend. I'm going for him to have a shot on target, 10 to 11 against Aston Villa. Neto's had a shot on target in each of his last 4 starts. And Aston Villa had conceded 24 shots on target in their last 4 games. That was before the Juventus match, and they tightened up in that one, but Juve had no forwards due to injuries. So not much of a surprise maybe they kept a clean sheet there. I mean, this will be a tougher test at Stamford Bridge, and Neto is a big threat out on that left wing.
OK, time now for this week's assist treble. Dan, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, going to go with Leighton Orient in the FA Cup to beat Oldham. I know Leighton Orient's manager, Richie Wellens, he wants a cup run to boost the club's finances, thinks that, you know, a decent cup run, could help him sign a winger in the January transfer window. Oldham, 4 points off the top of the National League at the moment, but I think they're facing a big step up in class here and they'll struggle.
OK, so Dan's going with Leighton Orient. Mark, what's your selection for the treble?
I'm staying with a London team as well. I'm going for Arsenal to beat West Ham. I just think West Ham, the way they lost to Man City 3-1 at home, the way they lost to Chelsea 3-0 at home, that doesn't bode well. Odegaard's back for Arsenal. And that treble come in the Champions League in midweek as well, Warren. So no pressure, but it's all on you for the final leg. We've got Leighton Orient, we've got Arsenal. Who else have we got?
We've got Norwich. I'm going into the Championship and I fancy Norwich at about 11-10 to beat Luton. The Canaries, 4 points from the last 2 league games, including that 6-1 win that Dan mentioned over Plymouth last time out, suggest that they're over their rocky period. Luton, though, are not. 3-0, beaten comfortably by Leeds on Wednesday, and they've lost 5 in a row on the road, and I think this could be the 6th defeat. I'm going for Norwich. So the treble is Leighton Orient, Arsenal and Norwich. And we're going to conclude this week's assist show with the naps of both Mark and Dan. Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going for Chelsea to beat Aston Villa. I mean, Villa have struggled in recent difficult away games, lost 2-0 at Liverpool, lost 4-1 at Tottenham. Also, had to put a lot into that game against Juventus on Wednesday that finished 0-0. The fact they didn't win that game against the injury-ravaged Juve. Juve only had 4 outfield substitutes. Doesn't really suggest that they're going to be up to taking on Chelsea, who are, rolling along quite nicely and might even be able to get themselves in the Premier League title race this season.
And where are we looking for your nap, Dan?
Yeah, going to go with Birmingham in the FA Cup away to Blackpool. They'll take a big following there, but Birmingham, you get extra allocation, didn't you, in FA Cup games. That'll help them, but they're just such a good side. They're the strongest team, in the competition at this stage. And Blackpool carrying quite a few injuries at the moment, so you do wonder whether, Steve Bruce, may try and protect one or two players. They've got an important midweek game against Shrewsbury on the Tuesday afterwards. So Birmingham, I think, will be way too strong.
OK, well, that just about wraps everything up for this week's assist. My thanks to both Mark and Dan. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment, of course. And if you like your golf, make sure that you tune in for the Sweet Spot every Tuesday with Steve Palmer. We'll be back next Thursday. And in the meantime, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.